You are Locked On Orioles, your daily podcast on the Baltimore Orioles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Locked On Orioles, your place for Orioles news and analysis from the clubhouse to the warehouse and beyond. As always, I'm your host, Justin McGuire. I'm a veteran journalist who spent 8 years as a senior editor at Sporting News. I'm a longtime Orioles fan. I'm a former Cy Young and Rookie of the Year voter. And I host another podcast. It's called Baseball by the Book, and I hope you check that one out as well. Well, stop me if you think you heard this one before, but the Orioles lost last night. Yes, they lost 3-2 to the Washington Nationals, and now find themselves 17-38 on the season. They are a full 21 games out of first place, which is mighty impressive when you consider it's not even June 1st yet. Yeah, just another in a long line of losses, and I really don't want to talk about the game too much, except to note this. Bryce Harper and Manny Machado had a combined 5 hits, including a home run each in the game. And that's interesting because, as I'm sure you guys know, Machado and Harper are going to be the prizes in this year's free agent class. In fact, that's what today's episode is about in large part. We talk specifically about Machado and whether he's going to end up on the Yankees next year. Our guest is Jesse Spector. He's host of Locked On Yankees, which is, of course, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, just as Locked On Orioles is. And he's going to give his thoughts on Machado, the Yankees, and a lot of other things, including Harper. We'll get to that in just a second. Hey, folks, just a reminder. For all the original content of the Locked On Podcast Network, both the podcasts and the written content on every team, go to LockedOnSports.com. And, of course, for all your content on the Baltimore Orioles, make sure to go to LockedOnOrioles.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Manny Machado Trade Rumors Podcast. I'm joined now by Jesse Spector. Jesse is one of the hosts of Locked On Yankees, our sister podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. Jesse writes for a lot of other places about baseball. He's my former colleague at Sporting News and a guy who knows a lot about the Yankees and a lot about baseball in general. Welcome to the podcast, Jesse.
Well, thanks for having me on.
The thing I wanted to ask you about was everybody who's listening to this podcast knows Manny Machado's days as an Oriole are limited. They're numbered at this point. It's just a question, do they trade him before the trade deadline and then he goes somewhere else, or do they just, you know, play out the season and he becomes a free agent and goes somewhere else? In any case, he's going to be in a different uniform in 2019. So I wanted to ask you, because one of the things I've heard from a lot of fans is, we know he's leaving. I don't really care at this point. We've known this for a while. The one thing I don't want, though, is him to end up with the Yankees. And I know that Yankees fans have been salivating over Manny Machado basically since he was a rookie. I remember a conversation I had with a guy I know, you know as well, a former colleague at Sporting News who was a Yankees fan, who, when Machado was, I think in 2013, said to me, hey, yeah, that Machado guy's pretty good. He's going to end up as a Yankee someday. So this is, you know, this is something that's been talked about for a long time. So let me just put this to you as the Yankee expert. Do you think Manny Machado is going to end up signing with the Yankees this offseason?
You know, it's something that I really go back and forth on. There are sometimes I think, yeah, it makes a ton of sense and it'll happen. And there's other times I'm like, I really see them going in a different direction this offseason, because the weight of the Yankees infield is shaping up right now. And they already don't have enough room for everybody to play. Like, Greg Bird just came back, which means Tyler Austin isn't playing first base as much. You know, he'll play some against lefties, but Bird's going to be the main first baseman. Then you got second base, Gleyber Torres is there, but you've also got Neil Walker. And Neil Walker's been playing some first base too. And Walker's almost in that Ronald Torres role now, where, you know, he can fill in all over the infield, and he's Neil Walker. Like, he's a long-time established professional hitter, solid infielder, you know, guy who can do everything. And part of the reason for all of this happening, obviously, you know, the Yankees also have Didier Gregorius at shortstop. And then, you know, Brandon Drury isn't even in the major leagues right now. You know, he went on the DL with the migraine issues and the blurred vision, and he went through his rehab, and then they just kept him in Scranton. Like, they just kept Brandon Drury, who's a capable major leaguer, a guy that the Yankees thought was going to be their starting third baseman this year, kept him in AAA, and he's still there because Miguel Andujar has been, you know, in a lot of ways kind of reminding you, and it's not a perfect comparison because he's older than Machado was when Machado came up, but reminds you in this way of Machado, which is that Miguel Andujar hits a ton of doubles. And, you know, if you remember Manny Machado coming up, and what was the first thing that he did was lead the majors in doubles. And you're like, oh, those might turn into home runs. And a lot of them did. And I think that Andujar's kind of on that same sort of track. He's got a big, powerful swing, kind of cool helicoptery finish to it. But it's a lot of gap power right now, and you can see where that's growing for him, and especially as he gets more experience against major league pitching. But the Yankees on the left side of the infield, they've got, you know, Andujar's there, Drury's there, Didi Gregorius is there. That's, you know, three guys with some to a lot of team control years still with them. Obviously now, Machado is better than anybody the Yankees have. He's one of the best players in the game, regardless of position. And someday, that's where my thinking comes in. That someday it's like, yeah, you know, the Yankees had a pretty solid outfield already that they could have gone with coming into this year, but they saw the opportunity to add Giancarlo Stanton, and they took it because he's one of the best players in the game. The question for me is, do the Yankees take that route with Machado, or do the Yankees take that route maybe with a Bryce Harper, or do they address what they need in starting pitching? And when it comes to the starting pitching, what I wonder is if the Yankees would be more apt to go the trade route in the offseason and get somebody younger and controllable rather than taking that big, you know, the big risk on getting a starting pitcher who, you know, covering his 30s to come pitch for them, because that's not always a recipe for success. The Yankees have a lot of ways that they can look at this offseason because they are strong all over the diamond. And, you know, whatever they're adding is going to be pretty much a luxury piece, except for, you know, the additional pitching that they do need. But they should also be looking to add that pitching before the end of this season between, you know, the guys that they have under control and can make trades with to get a controllable starting pitcher. That's what they've been really looking at, and why, you know, there's already been sort of poo-pooing of the idea of Cole Hamels coming to the Yankees. So I really don't know if Machado winds up in pinstripes. I think that they're in a position of strength where they have a lot that they can do, but not a lot that they have to do. Whereas maybe even 6 months ago, and, you know, when I started doing Locked On Yankees, I was like, you know, the idea was, well, you know, everybody knows that Machado is going to be the big target for the 2018-19 offseason. I don't think that that's necessarily the case anymore.
It's interesting because, like you said, part of the issue with the Yankees, and it's a nice problem to have, is that they really are set at so many places right now, or at least have young players in place who potentially could be set there for a while. And it's like you said, you don't necessarily see a need for either a Harper or a Machado. And I'm just wondering, it's the Yankees. Do they feel like they need to get one of those guys just to satisfy the fans? You know what I mean? Because I know there's going to be a lot of fans who aren't going to look at it as analytically as you just did and are going to say, we're the Yankees. We need to be signing these big-time free agents. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that if the Yankees front office was operating that way, they would have overpaid in the winter for Gerrit Cole. And they didn't. And I don't know how, you know, we've all had varying reports on how close that ever was, if the Yankees really didn't want to give up Clint Frazier, if there was more to it than that. I don't think that Brian Cashman is particularly swayed by what the fan base wants. He's been here long enough to, you know, to sort of be immune to it anyway, but he's also in a position where he's set as far as, you know, what his deal is. He's not under any kind of additional pressure. You know, there's always pressure in New York and with the Yankees to be winning World Series, but I think that it's pretty clear that he's built a team here that is, you know, not just for this year, but for years to come, a World Series contender without adding very much to it. Do they want to add? Yeah, they always want to add. They're the Yankees. And their financial situation is going to be a lot cheerier next year when they take off these self-imposed restrictions that they have to try to get under the $197 million luxury tax threshold so that they can basically save money and draft picks going forward. That's the only reason they're doing it. It's not they were under any kind of real duress to do so. And they've still got money underneath that this year if they do want to go out at the trade deadline and add a veteran or two to go with whatever else they do. So when you come in and you know, those chains are off of the checkbook in the off season, yeah, anything can happen. But I think that the greatest strength that Cashman has is his ability to separate, you know, building a team from the whims of the fan base and the tabloids and everything else that is attendant to being the general manager of the Yankees.
Now, if you think if the Yankees had to make a choice or decided that they're going to make a choice, I'll put you that way, between Harper or Machado, say they decided we're going to make a run at one of these guys but not both, who do you think it would more likely be?
I think, you know, if you're talking about all things are equal and they're both going to be 26 going into the offseason, to me, Harper makes more sense. I don't know exactly what their internal thinking is and, you know, what their numbers and analytics are telling them. But to me, Harper makes more sense because it's another outfielder. He can play center. You know, he's a better right fielder, but he can play center. And then you have this outfield of Stanton, Judge, and Harper, whereas there's less flexibility. You know, and you have three outfield spots that you can rotate guys through every day. There's less flexibility if you're bringing in a Manny Machado when you already have Didi Gregorius there and you've got, you know, already a third baseman who you don't even have in the major league.
Do you think would your thinking change on that at all if Machado showed any willingness to play third full-time? He has indicated he wants to play shortstop going forward. We know he's capable of playing third. He's honestly probably a better third baseman than he is a shortstop, but that doesn't seem to be what he wants at this point. Do you think if he were, say, willing to go either position, would that change your thinking on that at all?
No, because I think I'm already looking at it that way, that you have to, like, if you're considering Machado to the Yankees, you have to at least consider third base as part of the package. And again, like, you know, Gregorius is slumped mightily in May. He's not the MVP candidate that he looked like in April. He's also not the player that he's looked like in May. He's something in between that. He's a real good player, you know, and, you know, all-star caliber type of shortstop, but yeah, and would you move him off a shortstop for Manny Machado? Absolutely you would. So I don't think that that's necessarily a factor in the Yankees thinking about whether Machado is willing to play third base or not. I think that, you know, certainly leading up to this season, more of the thought about him was as a third baseman because that was really all he had done. And the shortstop part of it throws a wrinkle into it, but I still think that, you know, in the overall consideration, Harper probably does make more sense for them because of the flexibility that they have in the outfield.
All right, well, let me ask you to just put on your, not your Yankee hat for a minute, but your just, you know, observer of Major League Baseball hat. If Machado doesn't end up with the Yankees, what do you think are some of the other teams that he's likely? I know there's been a lot of talk about the Cubs. What other teams do you think maybe would be likely to target him? Obviously, he's a big prize, but we got to figure out who has the need and who has the money.
Yeah, and the money really takes you out of consideration for a lot of these. I think, you know, the Cubs make a ton of sense. The Dodgers make some sense. The Dodgers make more sense for an in-season trade because they're without Corey Seager right now at shortstop, and they could plug in Machado there. And then maybe that's a case where, you know, I don't think that Manny Machado is going to trade somewhere and then immediately sign a contract. I don't even know if the Orioles would grant a window. But it could be one of those where, like, the guy goes there and like, oh yeah, I did like it here. Let me try to re-sign. The team though that I would also keep in mind though is the Phillies, who have, you know, almost nothing in the way of long-standing commitments, and they got a good team now built around young guys, and they're going to have money to spend and openings on the diamond. You know, there's nobody on that team, I think, who you couldn't say, all right, we're bringing in Manny Machado, you're going to have to move. So I think, you know, I wouldn't count out the Phillies, and obviously, you know, Philly is not that far from Baltimore as far as being comfortable in the area of the country where you are. That's I don't know what Manny's priorities are either, as far as any of that goes. Is he looking for fit? Is he looking for the highest possible dollar figure? Is he looking for a specific kind of situation in terms of, you know, where he wants to live and all that stuff? That is different for every free agent, and it's important to keep in mind, but I would not count out the Phillies making a run at him, because he makes a lot of sense for them.
Yeah, yeah, those are some of the names certainly that we've been hearing, and we'll be hearing more about this going forward. And the big question, like you mentioned, is, you know, with the Dodgers, I had Jay Jaffe on here talking about why the Dodgers probably aren't going to make a run at him for an in-season trade, but somebody's going to. And so the Orioles are going to have to see what they can get and see if Peter Angelos is actually willing to pull the trigger on it and all that kind of stuff. So that's what we'll be following for the next few months here on this podcast. That's going to be a big question about the Orioles' future. But yeah, like I said, ultimately, it's where he gets traded in season is probably not going to have a whole lot to do with where he ends up next year. All right. Well, Jesse, thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for having me.
And people should check you out on your Twitter account. It's at Jesse Spector. They can also find you at Locked On Yankees.
They should not check out my Twitter, but yeah, go ahead and do that.
All right, so don't check out. Stay away from his Twitter, or you may boo it like Rudy Giuliani at a Yankees game. So
yeah,
well, all right. Well, thanks, Jesse.
All right, thanks a lot.
And that's going to do it for another edition of Locked On Orioles. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.